and welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. We use these biblical principles in our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. We'll teach you how to save, how to invest, explain the importance of work, the importance of giving, and the big one, how to get out of debt. No matter how small, no matter how large your debt may be, we have worked with thousands of people who say, our debt, we're in such a big hole we'll never get out of. But with work on your part, and we'll show you how to do it, you'll be able to dig yourself out of the debt hole and continue to live a debt-free life. Learn more at compasscatholic.org. Just click on Books and Studies and read all about navigating your finances God's way. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me today are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Now, today we're going to discuss one of the topics in our 9-week Bible study called investing. Well, specifically, John, what are some of the steps, the correct steps we need to take to start investing?
I think the first thing that we need to think about is what Scripture says about investing. If you look at Proverbs 21:20, it says, precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool consumes it. You must be wise when you're investing. You can't be scattered and going off and doing stuff.
Well, the other thing to keep in mind is that investing with the simple goal of accumulating more and more, just to have more and more, is not really a very godly goal. So if you're starting to invest, you have to be sure you have the right attitude of focusing on your financial future and not just investing to have a lot of money.
That's absolutely correct. So when you start out, there's lots of things to consider and probably that you're going to need to learn. The basic idea behind investing is to put away money today with the expectation that that money is going to grow over time. So today we're going to go through some basics about investing. And the first thing that we need to be concerned about when you start talking about investing is risk. And I think everybody who is going to invest really knows somewhere in their being that there's risk associated with investments.
Now, when you're talking about investments, you're talking about things like the stock market or mutual funds or real estate or things like that. So there could be ups or downs, correct?
Absolutely, there's going to be ups and downs. In fact, I'll guarantee it's going to be ups and downs.
And the people don't like the downs, but they like the ups, right?
Scripture warns against taking risky investments. You know, how many times have you heard about people who lost their life savings through some sort of scam or bad investment, or even people who win the lotto, after 3 years, they've lost it all. Why? They weren't taking things seriously. They weren't doing it responsibly. They weren't handling their money responsibly.
They were being risky.
And they were probably being pretty risky.
I mean, I look at the Bernie Madoff situation. Those people were intelligent people that had a lot of money that put their faith in an individual who scammed them.
But he promised them rates of return.
Oh, yes.
That were
too good to be true.
Yeah, yeah. No sane person should really have considered that, and for those people who lost money, I'm sorry, but those kinds of rates of returns are not reasonable rates of returns.
They never heard the old, if it's too good to be true.
Yes.
Or they just didn't believe it.
Exactly.
Or they believed in him so much that they ignored it.
Isn't that the truth? When you look at some of the people, I mean, these are well-known people.
So the other thing that you need to understand about the risk is, what is your personal attitude going to be about risk?
None. You know, I like none risk. No, no risk.
None risk?
None risk. No risk.
So do you have your money under in a mattress?
I do. I do.
That's and even I'm not riskier.
I'm not going to tell you where the bed is.
If you are going to be really upset because your investment loses money every once in a while, then, you know, maybe the investment game isn't something that you want to participate in. If you'll be okay if you're going to lose some money now and then, but realize that, you know, every time it goes down, it's going to come back up, and you're okay with that, then, you know, that's good.
Well, and one of the ways to mitigate risk is to diversify, right? I mean, the more diversified you are, the less risk you have. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. You know, there's all kinds of investments, stocks, bonds, real estate, gold, you know, on and on and on. And, you know, mutual funds are a really a good way for a new investor to begin investing, because a mutual fund, by law, can't have more than 5% of their investments in any one company. You know, off the top, you're going to be invested in at least 20 companies, no matter how much money that you're putting into the mutual fund. You know, remember what Ecclesiastes says in verses chapter 11, verse 2: make 7 or 8 portions. You know not what misfortune may come upon the earth. Now, the other thing you need to do is count to cost. Every investment has costs, whether it be financial costs or time costs or effort costs. Sometimes there's even a cost of emotional stress. So before you decide on any investment, you need to consider all of the costs.
And the other thing to keep in mind is the timing. The timing for the acquisition or sale of investments is really important. And like Ecclesiastes said, since you just quoted that, this is in chapter 3, verse 1, there is an appointed time for everything and a time for every affair under the heavens. So it's important to understand the timing of when you're making that investment in the market and in your life.
Absolutely. And another thing to consider is that you want to be a steady plotter. In Proverbs 21:5, we're told the plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste leads certainly to poverty. Consider all those factors of risk. And once you have a handle on the risk factor, then you can begin by looking at various investment types.
So what types of things would you look at what kinds of different investment types are there?
Well, the three most common types are stocks, bonds, and real estate. And each one has different pros and cons and tax situations and legal implications. Investing in stocks, let's take that one first. You know, usually when people talk about investing in stocks, they mean buying stock as a specific business. So they'll go after a name company. And you can think of any of the big companies that you see in advertising or whatever. And you know, you could buy stock in that company. And basically, when you own stock, you have a share in the profits or the losses that are generated by that business. And there's two types of businesses that you can invest in: privately held or publicly traded.
Now, privately held businesses, is that usually something like a family-owned business or one you started yourself?
Yes. Yeah, there's no public market for that business. So you just think, if you started your own business, you're not selling stock on the stock market in your business. So you are funding it totally out of your pocket. So it's privately held.
And that sounds like high risk.
High risk, but it could be high reward.
Or also, it could be really bad.
Well, you come up with an idea, you establish a business, and you run that business so your expenses are less than your revenues. You grow it over time, and then you earn compensation from the time you invest in the business. If in a good business, your capital is also providing you with a return that's more than you could earn from just a passive investment. In other words, investing in like a mutual fund or something like that.
But starting a business isn't easy. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things to consider. The first one is just your personal living expenses, right?
Yeah, tell me about it, Evelyn.
I mean, you got to put food on the table and send the kids to college and pay for your medical expenses and save for retirement. So starting your own business needs to be done in a very well thought out way so that you can cover those expenses until the business starts making money.
Yes, and that can be a challenge, as we have experienced in our past history.
That's true.
Yes.
That's the reason I brought it up.
So in addition to privately held businesses, there's also publicly held businesses. And these are companies that sell shares of stock down by the seashore. They sell in their stock. These are companies that sell shares of stock in their business. So when you buy a share of stock, you're actually purchasing a small part of the business. And there are many types of businesses that offer shares of stock. You know, there's everything from large corporations, which have been around forever and which have proven track records as far as growth and stability goes. And then there's startup businesses that they're just getting started, so you don't know what's going to happen with them. And then there's initial stock sale opportunities. That's called abbreviated IPO, initial public offering.
So that's like the first time the business sells stock.
Yeah. And a lot of times, you know, you can buy the IPO at a very low price. I know that 35 years ago, we had the opportunity to buy stock at $5. And we hemmed and hawed and hemmed and hawed. And finally, we said, yeah, we'd do it. And we sent our money in, and they'd already closed the offering. So we missed out buying that stock for $5. And in the first 2 months, it went from $5 to $80.
Uh-oh.
Then it also went back down again. You know, that's risk. And you got to be careful what you're doing there.
So what's the second type of investment you can make?
Well, bonds are a second type of productive asset. When you buy a bond, you're really lending money to the bond issuer in exchange for an interest income. So there's many ways you can do it, from buying certificates of deposit and money markets to investing in corporate bonds and tax-free municipal bonds, U.S. savings bonds. They all are going to pay you a rate of interest over the time that they have your money until
maturity.
That's right.
And that's the time when you're going to get back your money in full plus the interest that you were promised.
Or maybe you've been getting the interest on a quarterly basis.
Now, do bonds promise you a certain percentage of interest?
They do.
Okay.
They do.
So you know what you're getting into when you
right.
go into it.
Right. So real estate's the third type of a productive asset. And, you know, typically investing in real estate comes in two forms. Either you're developing something and selling it for a profit, or, you know, you're owning something and letting others use it in exchange for rent or lease. So developing can be as simple as buying a house, fixing it up, and selling it for a profit. We see that on the TV all the time.
Flippers, house flippers.
Yes, yes. Or it could be extremely complicated as buying a parcel of land and then developing a shopping center or something like that on it. You know, for a lot of investors, real estate's been a path to wealth because it's easy to buy real estate using leverage.
In other words,
debt.
Getting into debt.
Debt, yes, yeah. You know, you can get a mortgage to buy the real estate. You know, if it's a bad investment, then you're going to lose. If it's a good investment, it's the right price, it's the right investment on the right terms at the right time, then you're going to win. Now, there's also a way to invest in real estate that's traded like stock. They're called real estate investment trusts. And so it's just like buying a mutual fund type of a thing. And it's a lot easier, and you don't have to worry about the property and things like that.
This is Manager Monty Godsway. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries. Learn how we can help you remove the debt that you've accumulated, no matter how small, no matter how large. There's no smoke and mirrors. It will take some work on your part, but it can be accomplished. Log on to CompassCatholic.org, click on Books and Studies, and read all about navigating your finances God's way. Today, we are discussing the right steps you need to take to start investing. We just took you through the first step, which is figuring out what type of investment you want. So, John, Evelyn, now take us through step two.
Well, you decide what you want to own and how you want to own it. So once you've decided on the asset that you want to own, the next step is how do you process it? How are you going to own it?
What do you mean by how do you own it? I mean, you own it, right?
Well, if you want to invest in a business, do you want to own it outright, or do you want to invest with some kind of a pooled ownership, so with other people?
Like a partnership in business.
Yes, yeah, yeah. If you want to own the stock outright, you have to have some level of knowledge about the business itself. You got to be able to compare that specific company to other companies in the same types of business and understand what the price is versus the risk. In a pooled ownership, a great example of that would be a mutual fund. And that's probably where most investors should be spending their time looking. mutual funds or exchange traded funds, it's pretty much the same thing. The money is mixed with money from a bunch of other people, and together you're buying ownership in a number of companies through the shared structure of the entity. And the benefit of this type of ownership is the ability to have diversified portfolios at much cheaper rates than you could afford if you're buying individual stocks. You know, if you're buying individual stocks, one share might be as much as $100 or $200. If you're like most investors, you don't have that much money to invest on a monthly basis, and $100 or $200 might be your max. And so each month you'd get one share. If you do mutual funds, you're investing in a whole bunch of stocks. You can still invest in multiple companies, 20 or 30, depending on what the mutual fund is. And then you have partial ownership or ownership of partial shares, you know, like a half a share or a third of a share. And that builds up over time.
But in that case, you would lose control, right? I mean, somebody else is making the decisions about what to invest in and what companies to invest in, right?
That's absolutely correct.
But those same people have a lot of experience that you probably don't have as far as making decisions about investing.
That's their business, and that's all they do. You know, the person who manages any specific mutual fund, that's all he does is focus on managing that fund. So a third step in investing is deciding how you want to hold the assets. You've decided what type of investment you want to make, and now you got to decide on how you're going to hold that. So it might be a taxable brokerage account. It might be in an IRA, either a traditional IRA or a Roth or something like that. Maybe even in a limited family partnership, which is starting to get a little bit more complicated. So, you know, I think for a beginning investor, you would stick to either taxable brokerage accounts or IRAs.
Now, 401k's also in that mix with the kind of IRA type investments, right? Because it's an investment that is earmarked for retirement.
A lot of 401k's are using mutual funds, yes. And so you could count that in. But it's different, you know, a 401k is different than an IRA, which is different from an individual brokerage account. So on taxable accounts, if you choose to do it in a taxable brokerage account, you're going to pay taxes along the way, but your money is not restricted. You can spend it however you want at any time. You can cash it all in and buy a beach house. You can add as much to it as you want every year without any limits. And you have the ultimate flexibility in how you invest it, but you have to pay taxes on all your gains as you encounter them.
And that's over the course of the year?
Yes.
So when you do your federal income tax, you have to pay gains on it, or your state tax?
Yes, yes. Okay. There's also investments in tax shelters. So that would be like your retirement plan is a 401k or a Roth IRA or even a regular IRA. Most of these, excluding the Roth, are tax deferred, which means you get a tax deduction at the time you deposit the money in the account. And then you have to pay taxes in the future, like when you withdraw the money from the account.
So that helps you to grow the money over time because you're not having to take money out to pay taxes along the life of the investment.
That's correct. That's correct. Now, other investments like a Roth IRA are tax-free, meaning that you put your money into the fund with after-tax dollars, so you've already paid taxes on that income. So you put your money into the Roth, and then it grows and grows and grows. You've got all these gains, and then when you start to pull it out, you don't have to pay any taxes whatsoever. And that's one of the beautiful things about having a Roth IRA as compared with a regular IRA.
But on a Roth, there's some limits as far as how much you can put in and your income level or something?
It's based on your income level, yeah. And the amount that you can put in on an annual basis. If you're less than 50, you can put in $5,500. And if you're over 50, they give you an extra $1,000 as a makeup, quote unquote. I don't know who determined that, but
assuming you haven't done a good job up till now saving for retirement, right?
And even if you have, you can still add an extra $1,000, so you can do $6,500. So good tax planning, especially in the beginning of your investing career, can mean a lot of extra wealth down the road as the tax benefits compound up among themselves.
So are any of these investments guaranteed or protected in some way so that you don't lose your money?
No, there aren't anything. You know, the only guarantee is that you're going to die someday. And you'll probably be taxed when you do.
So do any of these retirement plans have asset protection benefits, like where you can't lose your money?
Well, some have unlimited bankruptcy protection, which means that if you suffer a medical disaster or some other event that wipes out your personal wealth and you're forced to declare bankruptcy, your retirement savings will be out of reach of the creditors, so you don't lose that retirement savings. And that's primarily in a 401k. That protection is there. If you just have your money in a straight IRA, depending on which state you live in, you may or may not have that protection from the creditors if you declare bankruptcy. You know, there's others have limitations on the asset protection, and some investments have no asset protection whatsoever. So another way to hold your investments is through entities such as trust funds. You know, there are some major planning and asset protection benefits of using that type of a special ownership method, especially if you want to restrict how your capital is used in some way.
So tell me what a trust fund is. Like, how do you, what's the difference between that and just a regular old bank account?
Well, a trust fund is a separate account, and it is governed by its own set of rules and regulations. And basically, when you establish the trust, you can establish the rules and regulations.
So who can get to the money and how it's distributed and who owns it and what it can be used for and all that stuff.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Okay.
So if you have a lot of operating assets or real estate investments, you may want to talk to an attorney about setting up or holding a company or setting up a trust or anything like that. You're getting way beyond beginning investing. Now, this is not investing 101 anymore, and you're out of my range of expertise for sure.
Well, we don't want you to get arrested by the SEC, so we'll skip that part, right? So tell me, if I'm a beginning investor, I started my first job, what should I do? Where should I start?
Well, let's take a look at how you might do something. If you're employed and it's available to you, you should sign up for a 401k, or that 401k is for a for-profit company, and a 403b is a nonprofit company. And you know, these are employer-sponsored retirement plans, and you should sign up day one as soon as you can. And many employers offer some sort of matching money up to a certain limit on these types of plans. So, for example, if your employer offers 100% match on the first 3% of salary and you earn $50,000 a year, that means the first $1,500 that you have withheld from your paycheck to go into your retirement plan, your employer will match that with another $1,500. It's free money. And I don't know how often I have to tell people that it's free money and you should get as much free money as you can.
There you go. That sounds like a good idea. Now, on retirement plans, you're kind of limited to the options you have, right? You just can't do anything. You have to stick with whatever the plan offers, correct?
If it's a company-sponsored plan, you know, they probably have got 15 or 20 different alternatives, and that's probably way more than you need to be concerned about, but it gives you some sense of choice of what you're going to do. And the money is automatically subtracted from your paycheck, added into your retirement fund. You don't even have to think about it. Another thing that you should consider is a Roth IRA and contributing up to a Roth. Now, we've already talked about a Roth a little bit. If you make less than $135,000 annually as a single person or $199,000 for a married couple, you qualify to put money into a Roth. You know, assuming like that you're like most people, you start contributing to the employer-sponsored retirement plan as soon as you're qualified to contribute. Then after that, you can start a Roth or some other types of retirement plans, depending on how much excess cash that you have available to save.
And all this is assuming that you're taking good care of your monthly expenses and your retirement savings are in addition to whatever regular savings you have for like an emergency fund and your day-to-day bills and all that kind of stuff, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. As you pay off your debt and gain more income to invest, you can invest and expand that a little bit. But keep in mind that as your investments grow over time, there's a great verse from 1 Timothy 16:19. Tell the rich in the present age not to be proud and not to rely on so uncertain a thing as wealth, but rather on God, who richly provides us with all things for our enjoyment. Tell them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share, thus accumulating as treasure a good foundation for the future, so as to win the life that is true life.
John and Evelyn shared a lot of great information in this podcast, and if you'd like to see, we have a summary available for you at compasscatholic.org. On the homepage, just scroll down a little bit and you'll click on podcast summary. Thank you so much for listening. We post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning. In fact, our next podcast, okay, you're retired. What are you going to do with that money in the 401k? That's our next podcast on Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries.